And welcome to Gravel Talk, ladies and gents. Thank you for joining us.
Well, this week in the Spotlight and Squared Circle, we are sitting down with
Greg Gagne, the son of Vern Gagne.
We're sitting down with Larry the Axe Henning.
We're sitting down in the Spotlight and Squared Circle with Ryan Owen,
Darren Corbin,
Zach Gowen.
We're sitting down with Dick Justice.
You're listening to Gravel Talk, keeping you up to date on the Midwestern independent wrestling.
And we are live!
Woo! Hey, everybody, welcome to Gravel Talk. Alex Riley, AC Riley, here with Nick Ragner and Jesse Von Ruden.
So you get two names all of a sudden?
Well, I kind of have both, technically. Like, I have Alex Riley, which is like my legal name. Like, that's on my license, everything. And AC Riley is my wrestling name. So
no, actually, Alexander Riley, I bet, is on your license.
Does it say Alexander?
Actually,
Riley?
Alexander Clarence Skoe Riley is on there because, like
Skoe? Like
no,
Skull?
It's supposed to be Scott, but it's just like you only have so much space to put in there, and then I have two middle names, so they put it on, and then it just got cut off because of the format and everything.
So ACSR.
Yes. ACSR.
So
acronym.
AC Senior.
Sure.
It's not bad.
That
yeah,
works.
That's actually a little bit better than both the names he actually just used.
AC you know? Senior?
Yeah.
Maybe new gimmick name. Who knows?
AC Senior.
AC Senior. Make sure to follow us on our social media accounts. Nick, what are those again?
The Grapple Talk.
The Gravel Talk. Facebook.com/TheGravelTalk and at TheGravelTalk on Twitter. And then what's our website?
GravelTalkPodcast.Weebly.com.
There you go.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it is. You got it.
Good.
I was like listening to you to try to do the website link, and today you got it, like, which was perfect.
First try. I've been practicing at home in the mirror.
Yeah, there you go. But
Is it kind of like the Bloody Mary thing? If you say it like 40 times, it actually appears.
Yeah, it's kind of unfortunate. Actually,
get the fuck up, man.
So what actually appears in the mirror? Then is it just like a link and?
No, usually I say it 40 times, and I type it in my toolbar, and then it shows up on the internet on my laptop.
Oh, that sounds terrible.
It's not like any sort of weird magic thing, if that's what you're
okay.
thinking. That shit's not real. Magic's not real.
Magic's totally real.
Magic's not real?
Totally is real.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, why? How do you know magic's real? What's your explanation for magic? Yeah.
So magic is basically just perception, right?
Science.
Yeah, it's perception. So if perception is real, then magic is real.
Now you're just pulling hairs. You're splitting hairs.
Anyways.
I wish I could out of a hat.
Oh, yeah, the rabbit out of the hat thing.
Yeah,
you can't do that because
magic's
not real. You
want to split a rabbit in half?
No, I wanted to
out of a hat.
Pull a hair out of
a
hat.
Oh, pulling. He said splitting hairs.
I said pulling, and then I said splitting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Both.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Get with the times, man.
But you can't because magic's not real. That's not a real thing.
Totally real.
You mean you can put a rabbit in a hat and then be like, oh, look, there's no rabbit in here. And then you can pull a rabbit out. That's an illusion. It's not magic.
It's magic, man.
No, it's not.
Totally magic.
Magic's not real.
Magic is totally real.
No.
You think the
Santa Claus is real?
Santa Claus isn't real.
But Santa Claus does magic, though.
I saw him once.
You saw Santa Claus once?
Yeah, on the corner. He had a bottle of booze in his hand, and he was asking for donations.
That was just a homeless person.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Whoops.
Yeah.
I guess you'd
who knows, though? Maybe Santa Claus was, undercover.
Undercover Santa.
Trying to figure out who
undercover
the
as
nice
a homeless guy
are.
In a Santa suit. Somebody's like, that's clearly not Santa, but then it's like,
he's
I'm
like,
really
naughty,
Santa.
Naughty list.
Well,
naughty
list. I could only assume an Amazon.com
paying for hookers,
has actually
naughty.
Made Santa's life a living hell.
Probably, but also you know, maybe it's kind of also helped him out a little bit because
he's
got
to work
like,
one day a year, so I mean,
here.
That makes anybody crazy.
It's already figured out. Don't have to visit this
spot. Like
the wish
list thing probably actually would help him, you know? Like, everyone's got one of those on Amazon.com, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's like, oh, ho, ho, I wonder what so-and-so wants.
There it is.
Well, that takes the fun out of that.
Yeah, he doesn't have to visit as many malls and things like that to have kids sit on his lap to tell him what they want.
Imagine if Santa had to go to Black Friday. Like, how violent would that get?
That would be terrible.
At least he's got the sack of toys that he can just use as, like, a weapon.
You think he'd twinkle his nose and use magic and, like, jump ahead in lines?
He's like, we have sales on Jack in the Boxes and old wooden toys. Because, you know, when you think about Santa Claus, like, nowadays, it's just, like, almost, it just, the idea of Santa is dying because I can't imagine elves making PS4s up at the North Pole. It just doesn't make sense to me.
They got tiny enough hands.
They do have tiny enough hands, yeah. But we all know where PS4s come from. Japan or China or whatever. One of those places.
We all know where they come from. Do you even know where they come from?
I think Japan, actually.
Yeah, pretty sure. Argentina.
Japan or, like, Taiwan.
Taiwan, maybe, as well. But not North Pole. That's what I'm saying. Like, when I think of the North Pole and elves making toys, it's, like, these little wooden things that they, like...
Well, all that technology would freeze.
They have, like, a, you know, like a pick and an axe, and they're, like, ding, ding, ding. Just, like, you know, chipping away at every design ever so nicely. It's, like, all homemade.
Well, here's the thing, too. Like, even if it's a facility that they have everything, you know, being able to stay at room temperature so it doesn't freeze. Remember, too, if Santa's in the sleigh flying at, you know, high altitudes, it's got to be cold up there, and the only thing protecting it would be
magic.
Maybe magic. Full circle.
No. He's got some special heating things in there.
Yeah, Magic the Gathering. He taps his mana. He's fine.
Now we're just getting away. This conversation has just gone really stupid.
We went from talking about Magic to the trading card game Magic. So
yeah, it's like
tapping
mana.
It's
1 degree. That's all it is.
That's close.
Unlike the climate change that's happening up in the North Pole, which is actually severe.
Yeah, we're going to talk about this, it's... bad things.
Yeah, definitely.
It's bad things.
It is definitely bad things.
It's bad news bears.
Climate talk.
It's climate. This is climate talk with your hosts Nick Von, Nick Freeze Pants, and Jesse Cloud Mustard.
Can I be like Jesse Von Doppelganger?
Yeah, sure.
That'd be
That's
really
way better
name,
name than Cloud
way,
Mustard.
Yeah. Cloud Mustard.
Cloud Mustard.
So I can come up with. I'm not good at. You know,
you
improv.
Call me Mustard Cloud. Like I'm a poisonous gas on the battlefields of World War One.
I mean, it sounds sort of like maybe. You know, I don't know, like a Native American name or something?
Mustard Cloud?
Not really.
I think that sounds more like a spy name.
Mustard Cloud?
No, that's a terrible spy name.
It sounds like a good nuclear bomb project.
So what you're saying,
Mustard Cloud.
So what you're saying, Mustard Cloud is a bad spy name, but it's a good Native American name?
I didn't say it was a bad spy name.
You said it was a bad spy name.
No, Jesse did.
Yeah, it's a bad spy name.
Okay, so I'm going to direct that to you. So it's a bad spy name, but a decent Native American name.
Now you're just getting racist.
Yeah, I think you are.
I don't think I was getting racist at all.
It is probably a terrible spy name, but a good weapon name.
Cloud Mustard.
Yeah.
Get out the cloud mustard out of the back of the van. We're about to blow
good
some shit up.
Good bio-warfare.
Yeah. That's what it was used for.
Bio-warfare.
During World War One. Also known as the Great War.
History talk.
Yeah. Speaking of the Great War, there are some wars happening this past weekend, guys. Mm-hmm. Here in Wisconsin and also in Dodgeville. Fort Dodge is actually, not Dodgeville.
Dodgeville.
What's in Dodgeville?
There was actually a show in Dodgeville, too,
was there?
Like not too long ago. Yeah.
Was it really?
Yeah.
What promotion was this?
You know, I don't know.
I remember, I didn't make that up. I saw it somewhere.
It was probably DBW,
Dodgeville
Wrestling.
Dodgeville Wrestling.
Okay, I think you made that up, to be honest.
I don't know, man.
But in Fort Dodge, there was a show.
There was a show. But
you guys were both at BCW the night before that, and how did that go for you guys?
It was a good show. I enjoyed it. I actually got my Christmas present really early from Brandon Blaze. We're shooting the match with Sean Priest against, you know, Brandon Blaze.
Brandon?
And yeah, basically. I'm pretty excited because I'm so pumped about this gift. And AC over here decides he's going to get involved in the match. Pulls on Brandon Blaze's leg, all of a sudden, the loudest pop I've ever heard in my life. This guy gets cold cocked right in the face. He starts immediately sweating. You can see his eyes already changing colors. It was amazing.
Cry a little bit?
I had like tears welled up
so
from
you
actually.
Cried.
Yeah.
Well, I cried in half my face.
Yeah, you did. You cried though.
You cried in like
well, it's
half.
Not,
your
it's
face.
Not like I cried like it was an emotional cry.
Oh, that
it
sounds
was...
like you cried to me. I mean, it's just what it sounds like.
I mean,
okay if you cry. It's not a big deal.
Yeah,
just admit it.
Crying's fine, man. Yeah.
Just admit that you got slapped so hard that you started crying.
Yeah, I mean, there was tears
in front of hundreds of people. You were crying.
Thousands of people.
Thousands of people.
Yeah.
No, but it was one of those, I don't know.
Was it planned? Was it a planned slap?
It was not a planned slap.
That was just...
The plan was that I grab his leg, and then he'd just kind of, you know, almost back me off, just kind of... Do like the head jerk, you know, to like just kind of intimidate, and then I'd back off, and then Sean Priest would take advantage, and then.
Well, he made your head jerk by slapping the shit out of you.
So instead,
did he like reach over or something? Where were you?
No, this was outside the ring. He was getting back
was
in the ring.
He was still on the apron. He turned around. He pivoted. It was a beautiful pivot.
Yeah.
He pivoted, whack like that. It was
goodness
awesome.
Gracious.
Yeah. And. And then, of course, as a result, it was one of those. I couldn't see it, you know, obviously at the time, but I could feel
probably
like my
stung
eye.
A little bit.
Yeah, it stung for at least like a good majority of the match, and then I could feel it around my eye in particular. And all of a sudden,
was this before or after you were crying?
I don't know.
It was probably
During?
It was during and
sure.
after.
During
his
the
during. Mascara was all over the
sure,
place.
Sure, why not?
It looked
okay.
pretty bad.
But,
it looked like the cover of that whole album.
Yeah.
Yeah, after crying. The... After when we get in the back, and all of a sudden, it's just, like, you get a couple people's like, what happened to your eye? Like, where'd that come from? And then all of a sudden...
Like, why are you crying?
What was it crying?
It wasn't tears of rapper either. You know, it was bad stuff.
Bad things.
So, yeah, and then sure enough, like, the next day, it started to bruise up a little bit and everything, and then, yeah.
Is that why you were crying on Saturday, too?
I wasn't crying on Saturday.
I heard you crying on Saturday
at the house.
You were
crying Saturday?
Yeah.
You weren't even at the house on Saturday.
I was a little bit. I remember early in the morning, I was like, who's crying? I was like, it's coming from Riley's room. It has to be him.
You're crying because you had to go volunteer all Saturday.
I like volunteering. It's a good way to get involved in your community.
I didn't say you were crying like tears of sadness. You were crying tears of joy.
Not way to backpedal there. It was nice.
Nice.
Good work. Other than him getting slapped, how else was BCW? Good show?
It was good. It was. It's always a very good show. Their December show, basically, it's Headlock for Hunger. Basically, you bring in a couple food items. They actually donate it to a local pantry, which is always very nice. It's also their big primer show for Rise to Honor. So we're going to have Pentagon Jr. coming in.
Against
Justin Dredd. That's going to be really awesome. You're going to see a big four-way for the title. Big five-way, that's right. Jarrett Jax was added to the match, so Kahangas is in it, Sean Priest is in it, Jarrett Jax is in it, and Max Holliday is in it. That's also
and Brandon
really
Blaze
good.
Is in it.
And Brandon Blaze as well. You're also going to see War Machine from Ring of Honor.
We'll be
taking on Hardcore Impact. That should be a very excellent matchup. You also have Cheeseburger coming in, taking on Tyler Sunday in the battle of ice cream versus cheeseburgers.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
It's going to be a fun, fantastic match.
I like cheeseburgers more than ice cream.
You do?
Yeah. If we're talking about the food, if we're talking about the wrestlers, it's 50-50.
It's up there.
But no, it's like, it was another really good year for BCW. They're going to kill it again in 2017, so that was always a lot of fun. Road trip-wise, it was pretty good. You know, I can't complain about it. You know, he slept a lot of the way,
good job,
so that
bud.
Was pretty good. Yeah, I had fun. That's all I can really say.
I would say that, like, the past couple shows at BCW, like, you could tell that it wasn't as full as it has been in the recent past, but I would say that the December show, you know, the crowd was essentially as big as it has that it used to be. So it was kind of nice to see that it wasn't on the steady decline of like constantly losing people, you know, for whatever reason. But it was nice in December to see a full show again.
Speaking of a full show, then you had Fort Dodge the next day. You said it drew pretty well. It was the second time that RWA has been out there, and but you had some interesting stuff happening to you before you got there.
Care
to elaborate on that?
A lot of stuff happened on Saturday. So it was myself and Devlin Kane heading down to Iowa. Ran some errands beforehand, and then I was in Best Buy, and all of a sudden go out to the car, try to turn it on, and the ignition switch is dead. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so, you know, it's happened twice before, so I figure, okay, just, you know, try it a couple more times, and maybe eventually it will start back up. Try this for about 30, 35 minutes. At this point...
it's a long time.
Else was I going to do? Just walk home? It's like, I really...
You have a phone, call.
Well, that's the thing. I was calling people, but they weren't going to answer. So basically it was just, you know, either get the car running myself or at this point Devlin will be coming down from Augusta and he'll be there at that point and then he can just come grab me. That's what he ended up having to do. We were kind of running behind, at that point, you know, we get on the road kind of late.
So basically to set the scene, your car is sitting at Best Buy. It's just dead. It's not moving at all. Devlin Kane comes by and has to go pick you up, bring you back to your house.
Uh-huh.
You have to get ready from there. So you guys are already probably, what, half hour behind? Right?
Hour and a half.
Okay.
Hour and a half behind. We were going to leave at noon to get to Fort Dodge at 4. We leave at officially 1:30.
There was an official time they left.
Well, we get on I-90, you know, beginning the road trip, not so bad. But then
snowing out.
Progressively, that's when the snow starts to come down, and that's when the snow is still on the road. And, you know, anytime a semi-truck passes on the left-hand side where all the snow is, you basically can't see anything. So you basically have to slow down to basically 20 miles an hour just so you don't unexpectedly rear-end somebody because they were slowing down and you couldn't see them. So do this, you know, and then finally get to Albert Lea, which was kind of the halfway point because that's when you get off I-90 and you get on I-35. Stop there for a second. It's still snowing at this point, but now the plows are starting to move in everything, so the roads are kind of getting nicer. We're not exactly fighting the wind, so we're not a situation that we can't see anything, which was nice. Once we get to the half, there's half an hour left on our trip. We take the exit off I-35 to get to Fort Dodge. Once you know it, we hear some rattling. And then as we're on the exit, that rattling turns to thump. You know, you hear a giant loud thumping noise as we're on the exit. So we're going 20 miles an hour, just thump, 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 thump. And it's like, we need to pull over and figure out what the hell is going on. We pull over fresh off the exit, go out and check the tire. It's flat and it's off the rim. So
this is on the same car that you just had registered?
No, not my car. This is
the car that he just got registered is the one that's dead.
Okay, so this is his other car.
This is Devlin's car.
Devlin Kane's car.
Okay. So we have to call. At this point, it's 5 o'clock.
Show starts at 6. This is an earlier
show. Starts at 6. Doors open at 5. Doors have already opened.
Yeah.
We're half an hour away, but we're stuck on the side of the road. So we have no choice but to call roadside assistance. Here's the funny thing. Finally, we call somebody that's like 10 miles out, and we're like, hey, our car's on the side of the road. You know, we got a flat tire. And nothing. You know, we just call him to say hi. No, we need to get this. We need to get our car fixed. You know, because we were just like we had the spare tire. Mm-hmm. The jack was frozen to Devlin's trunk. I don't know how, but it was frozen to it.
Must have been.
He must have peed on it. I don't know.
Dead body back there, and the blood just.
Yeah. There might have been. Jack's a good blunt object. Yep. But anyways, we basically have to call roadside assistance to get a jack. So then he's like, okay, well, I'll be there in like 30 minutes. 30 minutes pass by.
So it's like, what is it, like roughly 5:30 at this point?
It's about 5:30 at this point. You know, he finds us, pulls over, stops in the front of the car, which is, you know, perfect because, you know, the problem is in the back of the tire, so you can't see anything, which I don't know what exactly his thought process was. But anyway, he jacks up the car, swatches out the bad tire for the good tire. And then we go to pay the bill, and then sure enough, he charges us $128 to swap the bad tire with the good tire. That's all he had to do was just, you know, jack up.
How long did it take him to do that?
It took him 10, 15 minutes, but it cost $128. We had to pay with cash and card because we didn't have, you know, we didn't have $128 of one or the other. So Devlin pays his half with cash. I pay my half with card. We're at the shop because we have to pay with his machine because the ATM at the gas station right next to his place wasn't working. Go figure. And at this point, Devlin just like he's kind of like trying to make him second guess that charge. He's like, "So, $120 to change a tire, $128." So I think he was just like, "No, I don't care. I'm going to charge you guys up the ass because you guys have no better option." Finally get to the show. It's 7 o'clock at this point because we had to wait for everything. We had to...
Show started at 6.
Show started at 6. We're on a spare tire, which, you know, you shouldn't be on the interstate, period. You know, those are the tires that, like, max, you're supposed to be going 50.
Yeah, they're donuts.
Exactly. Yeah. So, basically, we're trying
to... Especially on a snowy day.
Yeah. Yep. Snowy day, trying to keep it safe. Get there about 7-ish. Thankfully, we came in the middle of a match of Steve Sarden and Rory Fox.
So that lasted like another hour.
Yeah, so we had plenty of time. And they even joked about that. It's like, hey, you know, we heard you guys were running late, so we decided to give you some extra time. It's like, we kind of figured. Everything afterwards was fine. You know, the show was great, a good turnout. We went to Applebee's afterwards, which was great because found out that Devlin Kane's drunk persona is Clutch Camshaft.
Yeah, we've known that for years.
Well, the best part is that he orders a margarita, and then he's trying to be fancy with it. He's just like so the margarita glass, you're supposed to fill it half full. He fills it to the brim, so he's like, "Everybody, I'm really fancy. Watch this." So everybody at the table is watching. He picks it up and then spills it immediately on his lap.
Yeah, and that's then what you do with a fancy drink.
Yeah, I guess so. But it was a little bit of a, you know, nonsense going into the show and everything. Getting there, everything was great. Mm-hmm. Did find out, though, Devlin doesn't know shit about filling his tires, which leads me to think that, honestly, what happened is the reason that we popped the tire was that they were so low that if you hit it at a wrong spot, that could actually trigger to pop the tire. Because when we actually get to Quintrip on the way back, his front tires, they're supposed to be filled at 51 PSI. Mm-hmm. He had them filled to 30. And the back tire, the last good back tire, 44 PSI is what it's supposed to be. It was at 22. Which leads me to think that the other one probably was roughly at that same time.
So you just threw him underneath the bus.
Well, I have already told him this. It's not like I'm mm-hmm. saying anything
no,
new.
No, you put him on blast on social media now. This is all over the podcast.
Yeah,
this
sure. I'm putting him on blast.
World this, famous.
At the same time, though, is that I've told
You're
him that this
get
is
a
Christmas possibility.
Card from him.
I already had a fun trip with him. Like, the funny thing is that we were driving on the way back, and he just observes, I don't know how we didn't kill each other this weekend. I was like, you know, I don't know either.
You know, I always ask that every time we do this podcast, too.
Yeah. I don't know how none of us are dead at this point.
But. Honestly, it was snowing pretty hard, and for mm-hmm. the longest time, because you're a social media nut, and since you didn't really post anything between when you said halftime and then, like, the beer post, whatever you did, I thought you died.
Yeah.
I thought you were dead.
So those are those tears of joy.
I thought you and Devlin came were donezo.
I will say this much. Very surprised, because we went to the bar afterwards, and they had this thing called the Big Dog size beer, which is a 64-ounce mason jar.
Yep.
So that was new, and they're like, it's $7. Like, I'll take one of those. And it was pretty good to have, especially after everything considered before the show. Did find out, though, that you went to Fort Dodge. It's a relatively decent-sized town.
Yeah.
But talking to some of the people after the show, they said that not a lot of entertainment happens really in that area, so mm-hmm. that's why those shows draw so well. So, you know, we were talking about the curse of December, and honestly, I think that there was actually a better turnout this time than there was in April, to
be
honest.
Do you know what the head count was?
I don't know the head count off the top of my head, but it was a good turnout. It was a good mm-hmm. turnout. They were allowed, they were allowed for for our match and everything. They were allowed for Devlin's match. So, yeah, it was one of those things where, I mean, everything was good once we got there. It was just getting there that was the pain in the ass.
Oh, wow.
So.
Cool, man.
So, wow. PSA, make sure you fill your tires. Mm-hmm. And just make sure overall just to have a jack and everything and you're good to go. Hmm. You know, and I also have a spare, of course. But
yeah, so did you ever get your vehicle figured out? Why are you touching your eyeball?
I was touching my eyeball. Jeez. But, yeah, so had to get my car towed from Best Buy. So they have the car, but the only problem is that because of the car's age, they don't know if they can find the parts. It's not like if your car goes in the shop and it's a recent model, it's just, the parts are right here. Boom. I don't even know if these parts are still being made. So that's what they're doing right now, is kind of scouring to find the parts needed, because it's the ignition switch that needs to be fixed. The brakes will probably have to be fixed soon, because those are super worn down, apparently. And a bunch of different latches that need to actually be latched together that weren't initially. So
basically you're saying you bought a lemon.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying.
And Minnesota doesn't have a lemon law, so there you go.
Lemon!
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 Don't be
lemon.
A lemon. Be a rosebud.
Lemonade! Lemonade!
Lemon!
Iced tea?
No.
Lemonade.
Read the sign, man.
Read the sign, man. Lemonade. It's lemonade.
Well, cool. Well, I guess you had a good way to cap off your 2016 wrestling.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. That was, of all the ways to wrap up the year, that is definitely the most eventful, I guess.
Well, I mean, having an orgy with, like, really hot women would be pretty eventful,
yeah.
too.
Yeah, you're not wrong with that. I'll say that much.
Definitely, guys. Well, it was a lot of fun this past weekend, but there's a lot of things also happening in wrestling today. Cody Rhodes, new part of the Bullet Club. We got Wrestle Kingdom 11 mm-hmm. set to go with their full card. Seems like Cody Rhodes has a pretty interesting opponent there, and former CJ Parker.
Juice Robinson.
Midwest guy, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So lots of really cool things happening. And, first things first, the biggest news I think out of wrestling that I wanted to talk about was – in my opinion, was Cody Rhodes now being a part of the Bullet Club. What do you guys think about this? Because the Bullet Club, it seemed like for a little while there, it was the hottest thing in all of wrestling. Then you have guys like Finn Balor and AJ Styles and Gallows and Anderson leaving. And it, while it was still around and it was still doing what it did best with Kenny Omega at the front, it wasn't as prominent as it was before. Now you add a guy like Cody Rhodes. What does this do for the Bullet Club's brand?
That's a good question.
Only makes it better, I think. That's what you have to say, right?
Yeah, I would assume so. Like Cody Rhodes, ever since he basically left WWE earlier this year, has been really kind of like reevaluating his stock in pro wrestling. He's been rehabilitating it, quote unquote. He's really been killing it on the indie scene. He's been having good matches, not great matches, but good matches, passable matches with a lot of really good.
You know,
talent.
Cody Rhodes listened to this podcast, right?
Yeah.
And you're saying that he's having great matches.
So he probably would be like, this is a mediocre podcast, and he just turns it off. I mean,
there you go.
He wouldn't be wrong.
Yeah. But he's been going out there, and he's been hustling. He's basically been doing the indie wrestling thing almost since day one, since he's got in there. And you got to marvel at the guy. He's got himself in a very prominent position with New Japan Pro Wrestling, plus his relationship with Ring of Honor, which everyone's kind of scuffling at as well. Like, you can't sleep on that. That's big for Ring of Honor because you just got a guy who's fresh off WWE, and people remember who he is. And that heel turn, too, at like Final Battle was magnifique. But I think it does really good things for the Bullet Club and stuff like that. But at the same time, though, it might take eyeballs off of Kenny Omega, who's basically the pseudo-leader of Bullet Club right now. And he's going into probably the biggest match of his career at Wrestle Kingdom 11. So you're going to be kind of... I wouldn't be surprised if you almost see Bullet Club fracture a little bit.
Are we
going to
see a similar instance? Like, obviously with AJ Styles, it was kind of different because he was leaving for WWE.
Yeah.
But are we going to see something similar to when Finn left and AJ took over as that lead guy? Or when AJ left and Kenny took over as that main guy? But, I mean, I don't know what the rumblings are with Kenny and NXT or WWE at this point. But, I mean, are we going to see something similar where there's some sort of a... rivalry inside the group between Cody Rhodes and Kenny Omega?
I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if you also see it, too, in Ring of Honor between Cody Rhodes and Adam Cole.
Right.
Yeah, because as long as, like, Cole and Omega, I think, are on, like, one-year deals, maybe one-year, two-year deals where they are, speculation is always going to be they're going to jump ship.
Right.
That's just the way it is. Plus, Cody Rhodes gets his brand back to where it needs to be, He's just going to jump right back to WWE. He said in that Rolling Stone interview. So it's like, we'll find out how it goes.
Well, what does this also do for Cody Rhodes? When you look at a guy like Cody Rhodes, and here's what I think. When you're a guy like Cody Rhodes, the world of independent wrestling is literally at your fingertips. I mean, you are Cody freaking Rhodes. Like, you can basically do whatever.
Or Cody.
But you can do whatever it is that you want to do. You can make the calls and most likely get on any card in America that you want to get on as far as people that can afford you. So when you look at the Bullet Club, is this something that he's doing for marketing purposes? Or do you think he's just like... That would be really fucking cool to be in the Bullet Club.
Man,
they probably reached out to him, but I mean, the idea to say yes and be a part of that group, I mean, part of it has to be that, right?
Well, like New Japan with the Bullet Club, they do go out and they try to attract like the hottest like Western wrestler they can get to put in that group, and right now they got him with Cody Rhodes. I mean, if Chris Hero was going to jump ship to New Japan, he'd be in that group.
Probably.
Just the way it kind of goes. I think for him, it really does really well. Like, he basically, he did come out with his bucket list. He basically crossed off all those things on his bucket list.
Not to mention, he set pretty much the indie wrestling world on fire with that bucket list.
Well, he also got made fun of, too, by the indie wrestling world, too, because everyone came out with a bucket list as well.
I think he was setting a trend with that list, and I think with any... trend that's set on the internet, there's people that will try to mimic it with all intents and purposes of saying, since he did it, it's gotten me thinking about my list as well. But then there's also people that would do the parody of it, because in any other situation of the internet, there's always a parody.
We just got done saying that.
I'm just
words than that, It's just, I think it's going to be fine. It's going to be interesting. He's got the perfect opponent there with Juice Robinson. Juice, like, his biggest thing really is making other people look good. If Cody can't have a good match with Juice Robinson, he's in the perfect spot basically for him to succeed in New Japan from the get-go. Plus, that vignette was magnifique. It was really good.
So we're talking about the New Japan. We're talking about Wrestle Kingdom 11. I've got the card right here on my phone. We've been talking a lot about Riley's car problems and Cody Rhodes. So running through it really quick, what are some of the matches that you guys are most looking forward to? Obviously, we can always point at the heavyweight championship match in which Kenny Omega is going to be a part of, because that's going to be, you know, quite
Omega,
I mean,
Omega
with
Okada.
I mean, it's going to be a great one. Tanahashi and Naito is also going to be, I think that's could possibly steal the show. Am I wrong in thinking that?
I'm not. You're not wrong. You're not wrong. Naito basically won the Wrestler of the Year award from Tokyo Sports, which is huge. He beat out Okada, Tanahashi, Nakamura, almost all the big names. He had a magnificent 2016. I wouldn't be shocked if him and Tanahashi actually steal the show. I mean, that's going to be a really good matchup.
And I would say, I mean, it seems like Wrestle Kingdom tradition that we see, that Intercontinental Championship match always seems to be, you know, five stars. I mean, it just always happens every single year, regardless of who's in it. That's one of the ones that seems
it's got a lot of prestige with that belt and with those type of stipulations and everything. So,
and I think, you know, and we see this over here too, but I do like the ROH World Championship match too with Kyle O'Reilly and Adam Cole. I think that's another one.
Yeah, they tore
that
it down
see.
At
yep.
Final Battle. They had a magnificent. Like, just a fight. It was an absolute fight. I don't think you're going to see anything less than that. Another one that's actually really interesting, too, is for the NEVER Openweight Championship. Is you got Shibata actually defending against Goto, who's actually his best friend.
Yeah.
You know, Goto, of course, had a really weird 2016. Looked like he was going to take that next step and just kind of fell off the ladder, joined Chaos, kind of rebranded himself, mostly as a tag guy. And, like, of course, 2 years back, him and Shibata actually won the tag titles at Wrestle Kingdom. They actually beat the Bullet Club. Seemed like it was going to be a high for both of those guys, but I don't know. It's going to be interesting. It's always fun when you see friends battle it out.
Yep. And then we also have the NEVER Six-Man Championship Gauntlet match.
This one's going to be fun, guys.
Yeah,
this
that's really kind of the what we expect. Just a lot of fun, definitely probably high entertainment value for anybody that is going to be watching Wrestle Kingdom. I'm the type of guy that will end up going on Daily Motion probably days after to watch all the matches. But
yeah, it's usually Daily Motion's really good about having it up there. At least a couple of the guys are really good about having it up there. Like the day after Access this year is going to have it after like, what is it, like 7 days, 9 days? They're going to have a four episode basically marathon. Boom, 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 Wrestle Kingdom. So that's going to be really cool. You can still stream it live on New Japan World on the 4th. I think it streams live here in America around like 4 a.m. that day. So you can get up early, get some coffee. You do
kind of sounds fun, actually.
Yeah, you do have the option of listening to either in Japanese or you can actually listen to the English commentary with Kevin Kelly and Steve Corino, which might be one of Steve Corino's last indie dates, really, is calling Wrestle Kingdom 11. And that'd be a great way for him to go out. New Japan World, of course, is less than actually the WWE Network. It's running about maybe, I think, with the currency right now the way it is, about like $9.15, which is dirt cheap.
For all that you get.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you've never had the chance to watch New Japan stuff, or, I mean, even Wrestle Kingdom, actually, probably for that matter, if you are a hardcore wrestling nut, I would say that Wrestle Kingdom is definitely up there and probably the best shows to watch throughout the year if wrestling technicality, some of that psychology and stuff like that is on your priority list when it comes to watching professional wrestling. Because
it really sets the bar.
It really does.
Like what 2017 is going to be.
Yeah. Like I would say, you know, if I'm feeling more in a wrestling mood, like I want to watch that kind of stuff, you know, and I mean, I would just personally think Wrestle Kingdom to me outdoes WrestleMania most of the time when it comes to pure wrestling in the ring. That's that's at least my opinion. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, like WrestleMania, of course, you got the spectacle.
You have the spectacle. That's the difference.
And you
got
the entertaining. With Wrestle Kingdom, you get the wrestle.
Yep, definitely. Mm-hmm. And then one last thing I did want to talk about before we go to our interview today. You brought up Chris Hero. Chris Hero, that was huge news a couple of days ago, guys. Chris Hero turning down an offer to go to WWE, right now one of the hottest indie stars at this point. What do you guys think about him turning down that offer?
I think it's interesting because as far as I have gathered information, it sounds like there was never even an offer on the table. It sounds like that there was some rumor that got circulated through all these different articles that said that he was for sure coming back to the WWE, and then he shot it down with a single tweet saying that he basically was saying that it's that the dishonest media. He was kind of talking about how, you know, the media was had made something up that wasn't even true. So, I mean, I don't even know if WWE has talked to Chris Hero, but from what it sounded like, he was just disappointed in the web articles that were basically promoting that he had gotten signed, because I don't think, as far as I understand, I don't think that was ever a thing.
Right.
And the biggest thing with the articles too is, like, the source was cited was Dave Meltzer, which Meltzer,
yeah,
he's keen. He is keen of the dirt sheets, but at the same time, though, like, every once in a while he swings and he strikes out. I don't know if usually in journalism, where there's smoke, there's fire. So if the rumor got back to him that Chris Hero and the WWE were still talking, mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised at some point they were actually talking. Now, was the contract actually offered? That's a different story altogether.
It could have been just, hey, Chris, how's it going? Good. All right, cool. Good to talk to you.
It very well could have been one of those things. But I also see why, like, Chris, you know, I don't know the guy, but, you know, personally, if, like, let's say you had an offer out on the table somewhere and it got out and that might have screwed up your offer, like, I'd be kind of
pissed off about it too, yeah.
Yeah. So you never know. Would Chris Hero actually make it back to the WWE one day? I really do believe so. Is it right now? Probably not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Guy's making fat bank on the indie scene. Like, yeah.
And he got the tag with Broken Matt Hardy just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that's true.
Broken Brother Hero.
Yeah.
Which was fantastic.
That is great. That's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Chris Hero obviously killing it right now. Had some, I don't know, the reports on when he left WWE was weight issues and things like that. Who knows if that was the case or not. But
you listen to a couple of different Chris Hero interviews, it sounds like they actually just left on good terms.
Yep.
You know,
exactly.
Maybe it was one of those things where, you know, Hero needed to get out. He needed to do something different, needed to get his edge back or whatever. He's really done that. He's probably had, bar none, one of the best indie streaks in the last year and a half, ever since he basically left. Like, his 2015 has been phenomenal.
And with WWE's track record lately, that's the best way to get on their good side and make them want to sign you and get you up to the main roster, is having those incredible indie streaks, because mm-hmm. then it makes you almost irresistible. Like, they're like, I need this guy. I want this.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's just like with Kenny Omega. Like, when he was in NXT, he wasn't anything special, or FCW at the time. And now he's one of the most popular stars, and that's why WWE's kind of like,
come on, please.
He's like, hey, you want to come over?
But that also brings to the fact that if you can get over on your own, do you really need the WWE? This is something that basically the Young Bucks have been doing for the last, like, 4 years. Like, they've literally have been the hottest act in indie wrestling. They don't need the WWE. With all the different avenues where these guys can make money now, with, like, pro wrestling tees, Flow Slam, they can do indie dates. I mean, like, they're like, the UK scene's huge right now. You can get money there. You can get money in Japan. You can get money anywhere right now. Do these guys really need WWE?
I think sometimes when you look at that, it's just a matter of, you know, if we talk to any guys in the indie scene, you know, or if you talk to any of the, you know, the big time guys, a lot of times when they first start watching wrestling, they love wrestling. It's because of that, you know, WWE, WCW, whatever it is at the time. And I think the idea still in the back of their heads that, hey, someday I could wrestle for this place in which I grew up idolizing, is, you know, regardless of what the money is, because they'll obviously make more money doing that, possibly.
Yeah.
But the idea of being like, hey, I'm wrestling for the guys I used to watch on TV. Like, I'm on Raw. Like, how crazy is that? Like, I grew up watching these guys on Raw.
The people like the Young Bucks, or, you know, like Kenny Omega, the guys that don't necessarily need the WWE, but, like, the idea of them signing is kind of essentially just that bucket list kind of thing, where it's just like, oh, I've been all over the world. I've wrestled for every promotion except the WWE. So if they were to give me an offer, it's kind of, you know, of course I would take that, because then I can say I've been everywhere kind of thing.
It's like AJ Styles. I mean, he literally was at one time the best wrestler probably in the world. He was killing it in Japan. He was having five-star match after five-star match. He was the head of the Bullet Club. He'd done everything. And then when it came down to it, WWE was like, hey, you want to work for us? And, you know, you listen to AJ Styles interviews or whatever, read them. And he's like, sure, I want to be in WrestleMania. I want to be in the Royal Rumble.
At the same time, though, it's also going back to the Cody Rhodes thing, going back to the Chris Hero thing, going out and making a name back on the indie scene. Like, Styles, when he left TNA, WWE,
he was, like, dead.
Yeah, he was dead. Yep. Like, they threw him a lowball offer. He's like, no.
Yep.
Nah. He went out and made a name for himself. Yeah. And now, like, honest, if you had him pick a WWE MVP of this year, it's AJ Styles.
It'd be AJ Styles.
In a heartbeat, yeah.
Yeah.
I think the best part about that is just, you know, look at, I mean, for example, look at James Ellsworth. You know, when he first got signed and he did the match with Braun Strowman, everybody's just like, who the fuck is this guy? And then, you know, tag, you know, put him in the middle of this feud with AJ Styles and Dean Ambrose. Is now he's like a legitimate player because he's had these matches with AJ Styles. He's had these matches with Dean Ambrose where now it's not, oh, there's some goofy dude that's getting his ass kicked by Braun Strowman. Now it's, oh, hey, that guy that we were making fun of, he just got signed by the WWE and he's legit had matches and wins over AJ Styles, the WWE heavyweight champion.
But still, at the same time, he's still a comedy character.
He's still a comedy character, but at the same time,
there's nothing he can do about his face, Jesse. It's stuck like that. He will always be a comedy character.
But at the same time, though, it's like there's nothing you can do about his face. And he's a comedy wrestler, but he's still doing that on the biggest stage right now.
When I was watching TLC, he pushed Dean Ambrose off the ladder. I was like, I kind of just want him to go up there and grab the belt and run away with it.
Yeah.
I was like, come on, just do it. And then he got up, and I was like,
think about this, too. Damn. When Dean Ambrose handed him that shirt to wear, I got to imagine, that, like, I don't know the exact numbers, but I imagine if that shirt is on the WWE store, I'm sure that's sold out pretty quickly.
The James Ellsworth shirt?
Yeah, just the black shirt with just his face in the middle. I'm sure people were like, oh, man, I got to have that shirt, absolutely.
That's what I did.
Did you buy that shirt?
I did not buy that shirt, but at the same time, I haven't checked. But I would not be surprised if they're like, "Oh, sold out. Come back later." It's like,
the shirt was available, would you buy it?
I don't know. I might. It's almost for that novelty kind of thing. But at the same time, it's, you know, here's this guy that, you know, in all accounts, you know, by all ways and means, he's kind of a weird looking guy. But he has a contract with the WWE now. You know, he's put in the work. You know, everybody wants to kind of, you know, say, oh, this guy doesn't belong, but he clearly does. You know, he's made a name for himself, and, you know, props to him for doing so.
I have no clue where that conversation was going.
What were you guys talking about?
I don't know.
I blacked out for a second.
Well, this would probably be a perfect opportunity for us to take a break. We got an interview coming up, don't we, AC?
Yeah, we
The Rock is going to point to you when to go. That's from the Hogan Rock rivalry when he first came back as Hollywood. You remember that?
Yeah.
The satellite interviews? He's like, whoa, hold on, Hogan.
I'm going to give you your cue.
That's fucking great.
That's good stuff.
It's fucking great. Yeah.
So, anyways, we got the spotlight with Logan Lynch. Got to talk with him at the ACW show at Tanner's in Kimberly, Wisconsin. This was, you know, a couple weeks after the Ring of Honor tryout. And, you know, pretty interesting stuff. Kind of surprising just how everything went with the seminar. And we talked about that and a little bit more. Just kind of learned about one of the up-and-coming rookies of Wisconsin.
Fantastic. Logan Lynch coming up. The modern throwback is what he calls himself. Stick around for that interview. You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Hey, everybody. It's me, Darren Corbin. I've always gotten the question, why do I not do my own podcast? Well, I've branched out and I've tried to do Wrestling Reflections and the Wrestlers Reviewing Movie Letter, plus my promos that I flood your feed with all the time. And the number one reason is, when it comes to podcasts, everyone can always find a way to hear myself talk, and there's numerous podcasts out there, but I want to give my endorsement to one very special one. And that'd be Grapple Talk, that covers a lot of the Midwest independent wrestling highlights. See, a lot of the local Midwest wrestlers are the spotlight of the Squared Circle hosts. And that would be Nick Ragnar, Jesse Von Rudin, and AC Riley. And every week on iTunes or Podbean, you can catch their podcast. So I just want to give them a shout out. So if you're asking me why I don't do podcasts and you're maybe looking for my opinion, check them out for all your podcast needs and take a look and keep supporting independent wrestling in the Midwest.
My work is such a crime. I know this, you'll be fine. This is the Monster of the Midwest, Sadist. There's a couple of things I really, really like. I like to hurt people, and I like grapple talk. So I'm going to keep listening.
What's up, guys? It's one of three of your favorite wrestling podcast hosts, AC Riley from Grapple Talk here. Are you a listener or even a host of another podcast and you just don't know how to get the word out about the podcast? Send us a promo advertising what your show is about to grappletalkpodcast@gmail.com. And if you're not a podcast host, but maybe something independent wrestling that you're looking to get the word out about, shoot us an email with your promo as well. We don't discriminate. Let's face it, it's tough for the small guys to get the word out. So what better way than to band together with fellow small guys, aka advertising on a podcast? It's that easy to do. Just send a promo to grappletalkpodcast@gmail.com and we'll make sure people know about you, your podcast, or maybe something else related to independent wrestling. Hopefully you're enjoying the show, and as always, support independent wrestling.
Hey, Grapple Talk listeners, this is Chris from Spot Monkey Media. Are you a professional wrestler, a promoter, a business owner? Spot Monkey Media is graphic design for the wrestling professional. We offer design services for t-shirts, event posters, 8x10s, logos, and even ring gear. But if you're not in the wrestling business, we work outside the ropes. Go to spotmonkeymedia.com for more information. Spot Monkey Media, create your legacy.
Hello, wrestling fans. Colt Cabana coming to you live from the 1 Hour Tease Arena in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. The pro wrestling action has been great so far. As you can see, Joey really dominating the ring so far. There's a beautiful belly-to-back suplex. And uh-oh. Looks like Joey's shirt has been ripped.
What's up with that? You ripped my shirt.
Let's go check an instant replay, see exactly what happened. There you can see Joey's shirt ripped from the collar, and that's not good when you're trying to wear your pro wrestling t-shirt.
Man, you ripped my shirt. It's my only shirt. Joey.
Hey, it looks like Ryan from 1 Hour Tees just threw Joey Ryan a brand new t-shirt.
Thanks, Pro Wrestling Tees.
ProWrestlingTees.com, over 3,000 wrestling t-shirts designed and sold by pro wrestlers. Wrestlers such as Steve Austin, CM Punk, Macho Man, Mick Foley, DDP, Andre the Giant, Jake the Snake, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Scott Hall, Ted DiBiase, Colt Cabana, Joey Ryan, Cliff Compton, and the entire Bullet Club. All stores owned by pro wrestlers. Support pro wrestling today and visit ProWrestlingTees.com.
For the latest pro wrestling news, keep it locked to www.gerweck.net, Gerwick.net, pro wrestling. Since 1997.
Tune into the Indie Power Rankings reveal every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio, Filling the Void Radio Network. You can also subscribe to Filling the Void Radio Network on iTunes. Give a follow to the Indie Power Rankings on Twitter at Indie Power Ranking, no GS. Instagram at Indie Power Rankings. On Facebook, facebook.com/IndiePowerRankings. You can also go to the website where you can see the top 10 for the week, the tag team top 5, anything else independent wrestling related, indiepowerrankingsipr.wordpress.com.
Hey, this is the real Brock Hall. You want to get your reality check? Check out Grapple Talk.
And now, the moment you've been waiting for. It's Spotlight in the Squared Circle.
Sitting down now, more like standing, but regardless, here with Logan Lynch. Logan, thanks for being on the show this week.
Thank you so much. First time on Grapple Talk, and I'm very excited to be a part of this.
Yeah, so Logan, you've been doing this now for 2 years, I want to say. 2 years?
A year and a half.
Year and a
just
half.
Under a year and a half.
So I was being generous with that extra half year. So, I mean, you started with the Dojo Pain. So, like, we know how you started, how you got into it and everything. But, I mean, where you got started, your background, rather. But, like, how did you get into it? Like, how did you decide that you wanted to get into pro wrestling?
Well, it's been, like most people, it's been something that I've wanted to do kind of for my whole life. But it just got to a point where it was either kind of you do it now or you don't have the chance to do it anymore. So finally worked up the courage, looked up pro wrestling in the Green Bay area, found Shane's number, called him up, and started at the Dojo Pain and haven't really looked back since.
Who'd you grow up watching when you were a kid?
I was actually a big Triple H fan. Stone Cold, Undertaker, Bret Hart, those are kind of my main guys. Chris Jericho is another guy who I definitely respect his work, and he's still, in my opinion, one of the best heels today.
So you grew up watching the Attitude Era?
I did grow up watching the Attitude Era, yes.
Yeah, I'm the same way, because back in the day, Nick actually had like one of these like best of Raw VHSs. You know, back when VHSs were a thing. You know, it was like a best of, so it was like compiling like the best like 5 years of Raw. So like, you know, watching like, you know, everybody back in the day, like 96 kind of Raw, like where it was kind of like the pre-Attitude Era, and you know, you see all the stuff with like The Rock feuding with China, you see Austin, you see Triple H. For me, it was Kane. Like, you didn't list that guy, but like for me, Kane, like ripping off the cell is like, yep, this is the thing I want to do now.
Yeah, I mean, it's, for me, it was different because I didn't have cable, so really SmackDown was the only show that I had. So a little more toned down, obviously, due to it being PG.
Sure.
But same kind of thing. I mean, you see those guys every week. They're going out there, and really, when you see the way that they make the crowd react, that's one thing that I really respect and really wanted to get into, just kind of the whole psychology of it, of how they structure the match to make the crowd react in a certain way was really appealing to me personally.
Definitely. So you've been doing this now for a year and a half. Like I said, I was being generous with that extra half year, but still, I mean, it was, if you round it up, it's about 2 years, because, you know, you were a finance major. So if you round up, you know, the 0.5,
it does round up. I think it's about 1.6. So it does round up to two.
So, yeah. So, You've been wrestling here a lot in WPW, ACW. You're now in Minnesota quite a bit, you know, for Steel Domain and, you know, some other places. I feel like I'm missing somewhere. So, just from the horse's mouth, where are you wrestling these days?
So, like you said, WPW, ACW. I've done a few spot shows kind of down in the Milwaukee area for Fourth Wall. Down there, I did RCCW one time. I'd like to get back out there. Like you said, I've been in Minnesota. Steel Domain, I recently started with them this summer, and they've booked me all the way through next year now. And there's a new startup, CPWE, it's called, in Minnesota. They're actually starting next week, so I'm going to be working with them also.
Very cool. So, I mean, it's crazy that, like, you know, a year and a half into the business, 1.6 technically, you've been doing this, and you're wrestling a lot of places where, you know, a lot of people start out, you know, they maybe stick to, like, that one area. And you know, on the other hand, you're getting out of your comfort zone really quick. You know, what do you credit that to? I mean, is it weird to be getting out of your comfort zone so early, or do you feel comfortable to be able to go anywhere in the, you know, anywhere that's going to book you to wrestle?
Well, it's funny you should mention that. I actually forgot one of the places I worked was Canada.
Oh.
At the beginning of...
Yeah, how do you forget Canada?
Exactly. It's kind of on a lot of people's bucket lists, and a year and a half in, I had the chance to do that. I really credit it a lot, honestly, with the veterans in the locker rooms that I've worked, WPW, ACW, all of them. They've all just been extremely helpful. I mean, Brock Hall, TW3, Chase McCoy, Sadist. I mean, all those guys. I'm missing, you know, Jordy Lee, Joey Avalon. I could keep going on and on, but all those guys have been instrumental in helping me get better and also getting me opportunities to go other places. And I think, like you said, getting out of your comfort zone, sometimes you have to maybe take a booking that you feel a little uneasy about maybe going to Canada, but it gets you other places too. And once you do it one time, then you think, oh, this is awesome, I'm going to do it again. So really it's about getting that experience. And at a year and a half in, I still get nervous going to new places, obviously, but I do feel comfortable and feel like I'm really growing as a wrestler and a person in the ring.
Yeah, definitely. And that's something that we actually talked to Brock Hall about a while, is that, like, you know, we asked him, you know, of the Dojo Pain class, you know, that you were in, you know, who's that guy to look out for? And, like, hands down, he's just like Logan Lynch. He's, you know, he's got the look, he's got the talent, you know, he's so young, but at the same time, like, the sky's the limit for him. So, I mean, like, what's that like for you to hear that? Like, I mean, like, without getting a big head about it, you know, and everything, and everyone just messing with you, man. Don't get too serious. So, I mean, what's that like to know that, like, you got the veterans that have been paving the way for you and helping you out, getting these bookings and, you know, helping you grow as a wrestler? And what's that like to know that, like, they're rooting for you, and, you know, they're definitely saying that, like, you're the guy to look out for in the future?
Like you said, you definitely have to keep it in perspective. I am a very confident person internally, and, you know, some people say there's a fine line between confidence and arrogance, and you definitely have to stay on that confidence side. But it's such a great feeling to know that the vets respect what you're doing. They see a lot of promise in you, and they want to work with you. Like, I've heard that from how many vets. Tonight, the ACW show, I'm working Sadus for the first time, and he's been wanting to work with me for the last basically year since I started wrestling. And it's really gratifying to hear them say those things about you. But you have to keep it in perspective. You got to keep working, because if you're not working and getting better, somebody else is.
absolutely. You know, like they say, good is never good enough. So you wrestle in Canada. You got to do that. I mean, what was that like? I mean, you know, for a lot of people, they, you know, I've talked to Ben about this a couple of times. He was saying it's definitely a different area. You know, it's not like how you would wrestle here in Wisconsin. So for you, you know, especially when you're new and everything is still pretty new for you, what was that like to wrestle in Canada? And you know, what was the biggest takeaway you took from that?
It was a really, really good experience. Probably the thing that threw me the most is they're definitely not PG shows there. So there were a lot of F-bombs, which is not common in the Midwest.
People just throwing F-bombs. You're like, whoa.
Yeah,
wait a second, guys.
Basically, I was like, you know, I didn't know I could do that. I had the opener match. If I would have known that, I would have maybe thrown a couple out there myself. But, no, it was really good experience. Danny Duggan runs the Canadian Wrestling Elite that I worked for up there. It was a spot show, so it was at a bar, similar to the shows you do here, and maybe, you know, 50 people or so. But they run tours across Canada where they go 10, 14 days maybe, and they run like 300 to 500 people they can get in those shows. And that's an opportunity that I'd really like to get at some point, is to at least go on one of those tours. They bring in a lot of Ring of Honor guys to work those. But it's just, you're an outsider in a different country, which is kind of strange to think. So you have basically heel heat just by walking the building, which which for me is awesome. But it's a really great experience, and I hope to be able to go back.
So other than the ability to throw F-bombs, you know, when you go there next time, like for you, what was the big transition? You know, was the wrestling there pretty similar to what it's like here in the United States, especially here in Wisconsin? Or did you have to wrestle kind of like in a different psychology because it's like a different expectation?
It was a little bit of a different psychology. It wasn't quite so set up like it is here, where it's the shine, you know, the cutoff, the heat, the comeback. It was kind of just back and forth a lot in Canada. And I don't know if that's, I've only worked one place in Canada, so I don't know if it's standard across all of Canadian wrestling. Yeah, exactly. And maybe it was just that one show too, that's just kind of how the matches were set up. But that was one thing I noticed, was just the structure of the matches wasn't quite so set as it is in the United States.
So you've been doing a lot of traveling, obviously, because you were in Canada, you were in Minnesota, you were also at the Ring of Honor Dojo a couple weeks ago. It was kind of cool to see that, you know, you and TW3, they're in the ring, they took a photo for Instagram. Like for them, we're just taking photos, but it was just, you had both you guys in the ring, and I was like, oh, that's pretty cool to see you guys there. So, I mean, what was that like? I mean, it's crazy to think that, like, you know, Ring of Honor, you sign up for that, and most people that are signing up for that have, you know, like, you know, 5, 6, 10, 15 years in the business, and you know, you come in at you know, 1.5. So I mean, like for you, what was that experience like?
It was one of the best wrestling experiences I've had so far. Like you said, just to see that picture on Instagram was something that obviously I've never had before, and it was just a really, really cool opportunity. Like you said, a lot of the guys there had 5, 10 years of experience. I was by far the one with the least experience there. There were a couple guys maybe that had 2 years, but the thing that I was most proud of is that they didn't know I only had a year of experience until right at the end of the camp. It was 2 days of just getting your mind flooded with so many things. Christopher Daniels, Delirious, kind of ran the whole in-ring portion of it. When we did promos, BJ Whitmer was kind of the main ones back there, along with Ian Riccaboni, who is the voice of Women of Honor. But it's just getting flooded with so much information over those 2 days. It was 3 weeks ago or so, and I still am trying to process the information and take it and put it into my wrestling today. And I really hope to improve and get better and really figure out who I am as a wrestler. Just keep on improving, and then go back next year and hopefully show them something new.
So, I mean, obviously there's a lot to process from Ring of Honor, as you mentioned, but what would you say was like one of the biggest things that you heard from the professors, so to speak? You know, what was the biggest thing that you took away, where there's like, hey, you know, you good on this, you need to work on this? And then, you know, once they, you know, talked about whatever this is, it was kind of that, oh, I didn't even think of that. Like, what for you, what was that big like aha moment that like they told you to start working on?
For me personally, or just kind of something they said to the whole group?
I mean, you could for you personally, and then I mean for the whole group as well. I mean, just, you could do both.
Okay,
if you have both.
Yeah, for me personally, it was mainly like a kind of a timing issue. We had some a match the first day and the second day. They gave us 5 minutes apiece, had us run through it, and Christopher Daniels and Delirious were both kind of saying, you know, we like what you did, but some of the timing things we would have just done a little bit differently. Then they asked how much experience I had. As soon as they found out, it was like, okay, that's it right there. Like, you need more experience. Just keep working on that. Make sure you shore up exactly who your character is. That was kind of the main thing they told me. They said, you know, we really like the way you look. Just get everything tied back up, come back, is kind of what they said. One of the main things I took from what they said to everybody was they were talking about how you structure your comebacks. And they were saying that it doesn't need to be bump, 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 cover. You know, that's kind of the standard way you're taught, and that's fine, as they were saying, for your first year or so in the business. They said as soon as you cover, your comeback's dead. Like, the crowd dies. So they're saying you need to find ways to extend your comeback. So maybe, you know, duck something, hit. You don't want to get bumped as the baby, but find ways to really extend your comeback and start, you know, build. So when you finally get to that top, boom, then the crowd pops, then you can cover. So that's something that I've really been thinking about and trying to build into myself as a wrestler.
So, and on top of that too, I mean, like, when you said that you were only a year and a half in the business, and, you know, then everything kind of made sense with the comeback. What, you know, do you have anybody come up to you afterwards like, holy shit, you know, you're only a year and a half in? Like, holy, like you said, you know, people were surprised, you know, everything kind of made sense, like, regarding your comeback and everything, and why you didn't know that range of experience. But did anybody come up to you afterwards like, I didn't realize, like, honestly, other than that, I would have been surprised if you know, told me a year and a half.
Yeah, actually, I was in the middle of the ring when they asked how much experience I had, and everybody was kind of crowded around. All the Ring of Honor guys were sitting in front, and when I said a year and a half, it was kind of like collectively across all the Ring of Honor guys, it was like a jaw drop, like, are you serious? And then it was kind of like, okay, is it a year since your first match or a year since you started training? I said, well, it's been about a year and a half since I started training, about a year since my first match. And then it was still just like, we had no idea. And Christopher Daniels even said, like, I didn't know exactly what I was doing until at least after 2 years. He's like, you are way, way ahead of the game. So that's another thing. You take it, you listen to it, and it makes you feel good, but you know, you don't stop there. I could be ahead of the game now, but if I'm not going to keep working at it, everyone else is going to pass me up.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you've been at the dojo, you've been to Canada, you've been to Minnesota, Wisconsin. What's kind of next for Logan Lynch? Like, what's next on your bucket list or your Cody Rhodes list, as it's been so aptly named, professional wrestling? Like, what's the next thing you're trying to accomplish, or what's the next thing you want to hopefully do here in the next year or two?
One thing, just kind of where I want to go, physically, location-wise, I haven't worked Illinois yet, or Michigan. At the Ring of Honor camp, there were a couple guys from Michigan that kind of talked to, and they were talking about, you know, trying to bring me over there, so that would be something good. I'd like to get on one of those tours in Canada, like I said. Personally, another thing I want to do, you're going to see, hopefully, maybe early next year, I've got a little character evolution going on. Got a little tease going on here right now. We're working on some things behind the scenes. Going to be a new look, not really a new character, but something that's really going to tie everything together and really make sense. And you're going to get a good idea of who Logan Lynch is as soon as I walk out, as soon as I get in the ring, which honestly I don't really have right now. And that's kind of something that they said at Ring of Honor. You really need to get it all tied together. So that's hopefully going to be coming together early next year. So I'm really, really excited about that.
For what it's worth, I've been doing this 8 years and I still don't know what I'm doing as far as a character. So, I mean, that's the rare example, you know, but if anything, just like, well, at least I haven't taken 8 years to figure out who the hell I am. So.
Well, I mean, you know, it's better late than never, so there's always time.
That's true. It is better late than never. So, Logan, how do we get a hold of you on the social media accounts if people want to follow you or maybe contact you about maybe, you know, Michigan or Illinois or maybe Mexico? Maybe you can explore a new country. Who knows?
That would be nice. So, Facebook, Logan Lynch. You can find me on there. Twitter, it's @TheLoganLynch. And
not a Logan Lynch, the Logan Lynch.
The Logan Lynch, not a Logan Lynch. If you see me in Steel Domain, I'm actually Logan Legend, so Logan Legend, Logan Lynch. Still got the double L's, that's kind of my thing.
Okay. Awesome. Well, Logan, thank you for being on the show, and good luck today, and good luck in the future.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Talk about your Psalms. Talk about John 3:16. Austin 316 says...
Stop watching your neighbors get undressed. You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Come on, that's not necessary.
All he's got to do is...
Download the latest Grapple Talk podcast on iTunes. Just type Grapple Talk into the search bar. It's not rocket science.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Hey, what's up, everyone? This is Chris Lockman, host of the Smart Money Wrestling Podcast. Join me and my co-host, AJ Jensen, each week as we discuss all things professional wrestling. WWE, NXT, Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, New Japan, as well as the local indie scene here in Wisconsin. We'll also bring you interviews with some of the Midwest up-and-coming independent stars and where you can see them in your area. You can find us on SoundCloud and iTunes, as well as on Twitter, at Smart Money. Check us out.
Ryan Yanishadis here from the Ringside Report to remind you to watch the Ringside Report every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6 p.m. on YouTube. Brandon McGrath and I discuss WWE, TNA, and the local independent scene. Go to youtube.com/RB Enterprises. That is the Ringside Report, your front row seat to all things wrestling.
What's up, guys? This is professional wrestler Rennie D.
And this is Travis Dirty Mester.
We're the hosts of The Pencil, the professional wrestling podcast every Tuesday.
On iTunes, YouTube, Podbean, and Stitcher.
We bring you guests from the WWE, TNA, and all the major independent wrestling promotions around the world.
Follow us on Twitter at Pencil Podcast or on the World Wide Web, PencilPodcast.com.
Hey, this is Dave Dynasty from the Dave Dynasty Show. Hey, check out our weekly podcast, where you get my take on wrestling headlines, I answer listener questions, and I interview your favorite independent wrestling stars. You can find us at www.davedynasty.com or look up The Dave Dynasty Show on iTunes, SoundCloud, and YouTube. Thanks for your support.
Hi, this is the Minnesota Madman, Doug Meyer, host of the wrestling podcast on the DVM Podcast Empire.
One Ball Radio.
We recap Raw, NXT, Ring of Honor, and other shows of the week. We interview wrestlers, go back in time with This Week in Wrestling History, and we go, hey, whatever happened to you? Check us out on iTunes or DVMPE.com.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Keeping you up.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Keeping you up.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Keeping you up to date on Midwestern independent wrestling.
Always good to hear from Logan Lynch. And speaking of Logan Lynch, if you haven't yet, make sure you do hit up our social media. It's facebook.com/thegrappletalk. Right now we're looking for nominations for our end of the year awards. Logan Lynch, very popular one in both the rookie and breakout candidates.
Aptly deserved.
Yeah,
course.
Definitely very much deserved. I know he's definitely on my list of awards, but we'll talk about that later. But anyways,
in a couple
weeks. But anyway, yeah, we'll talk about that in a couple weeks. But if you haven't yet, hit up the Facebook page. That's going to be up for
it's our top pinned post, so you don't have to go very far scrolling down.
Yep. So go on there. We have all of our categories listed on our post. Basically, just go on there, make your nomination pick. So you know, because like you said in the post, I mean we try to see as much wrestling as we can, but sometimes we don't. I mean, there's definitely a couple of nomination posts on there that somebody said somebody, and I was like, oh, you know, I forgot about that person. Yeah.
So we only have six eyeballs.
I think that's always the biggest thing because, you know, we only have six eyeballs. We only go to so many shows. I mean, anytime we do an upcoming shows preview, there's 14 on average, we'll say. And maybe we're going to one or two, depending on, you know, how our weekend looks.
Or none.
Or we're just taking the weekend off.
Those are the best weekends.
You know, the case in point, there's plenty of shows happening this weekend, and we're not. And all three of us, I think, are staying in La Crosse. So it's one of those things where the past couple times we've done this, our award, you know, recipients are essentially the extent of who we know and who we've seen on a consistent basis. But now it's kind of, okay, well, you know, we need your eyes. We need the fans' eyes to be like, oh, hey, you know, who had a really good ear? This guy in Indiana. He's been killing it. And like, you know what? He really has, and it's a lot better than my choice, and maybe that's the guy.
I mean, that's happened a couple of times. I mean, I know I kind of had my initial list. I looked at the nominations list, and I was like, you know what? I may have not had the chance to see this guy wrestle as much as this guy, but I know this dude had – one heck of a year for what he was doing, from what I've been reading, from what I've seen on the internet, and I would gladly put this guy in over this other guy, and you know, that's what the nomination process is helping us do.
I mean, even when I was putting my list up there,
you wrote a fucking novel, dude.
I wrote a novel, but at the same time, as you know, it was looking at guys that have been doing great in Wisconsin, but at the same time, I've been glad that I've been able to get out and see more of the guys outside of the state. You know, you see the guys in Minnesota, they're killing it, the guys in Illinois, the guys in Indiana, et cetera. So then you get to see these guys and be like, you know, this guy's actually been really putting in a lot of work. So, you know, maybe he's more worthy of a title than maybe this person or something.
And these are very prestigious awards. I mean,
oh, super prestigious.
Oh, my gosh. You get like a $5 gift card to Quiznos.
Dude,
I mean,
you don't even get gift cards.
You get signed to the WWE with this.
I mean, you can put it on your resume, technically. I mean, you really could. I mean, if you put on your resume, like, Grapple Talk Wrestler of the Year Award, I mean...
Adam Grace did that on his Pro Wrestling Tees store.
Did he really?
He kind of inaccurately did it because he said he was a breakout star when he was...
Breakout
like,
tag team?
When he was, like, be on the lookout for tag team. So, like, it was...
Okay, so what's the difference between being on the lookout and breakout?
Because breakout is, like, pre...
Like, breakout is...
Breakout is post be on the lookout.
Breakout is this year, this guy broke out, you know?
Be like, on the lookout, like, this guy might... This guy's... Could break out next year.
Like, if you remember, like, when Jarrett Jacks won the first breakout award, it was because, you know, we saw Jarrett Jacks with the Urban Assault team. He went singles, and then he just something. And then all of a sudden, it was just he broke out. And it's like, man, this was
his
year.
This guy really broke out.
Whereas Be on the Lookout is like, hey, moving on to next year, keep your eyes on these, you know, this tag team or this wrestler because they're going to have great things coming up for them in the next year.
Think about it like this, Jesse. When you look at college football and they have like 180 bowl games so that everybody can have an award, that's similar to what we're doing here for Grapple Talk.
Oh,
we're just
participation
putting,
awards.
Yeah, we're basically just have all these random awards so we can make sure we give them all out
that
to
makes
our friends.
Sense. I like that logic a lot better than the breakout or look on the lookout for because, like, to tell you the truth, that sounds like, hey, man, like I slept with some really diseased infested women and I might be breaking out soon or possibly later.
Wow, yeah. That's I mean that can also be an award.
Wait, you slept with Jarrett Jacks?
And unfortunately
Jarrett Jacks.
That's what I took from what you were just saying. So
I like how where he went. You know, he just went straight into the gutter. Just like straight into the gutter.
It's been a fun week, I'll
you
tell
went
you that
full
much.
Face first into that gutter.
Yeah,
face
you did,
first
man.
In the gutter.
You motorboated the gutter. That's how much in that gutter you were.
Drain the swamp. Wait, that had nothing to do with anything. Anyways, moving on.
Alrighty. Thanks for that.
Alrighty.
I think we've heard enough from you this week, so why don't we just go right to the tape study.
Oh, God, Nick, you know, so you actually did some research on New Japan. I'm going to turn it to you.
I didn't do any. I didn't have to. I couldn't do it over the break.
Oh, come on. All right,
jump
fine.
My bones here,
all right,
bud.
Cool. All right, so Progress actually had a pretty good show the other week, and there was a match, an 8-minute match everyone's really talking about, and that's Will Ospreay taking on Matt Riddle. We'll post it. Hopefully it's free online. If not, like, go actually watch this show. They had a hellacious show about, like, 2 weeks ago.
Fantastic. We'll look that up on the facebook.com/thegrappletalkpodcast.com.
Mm-hmm.
/Weebly/KQ98.
There's a link on the Facebook page.
Yep.
Just click on that. It'll take you to the website.
Easier way to do it.
Or why don't you just... type it in the fucking Google or whatever search engine you use.
That's usually what I do. Whenever somebody's like, what's the exact address? Can you I was like, just type it into Google, dude.
Yeah.
It's super simple. I'm not even talking about Grapple Talk. People are like,
God, I had to do that today. Someone actually called. And
hey,
like,
what's the link to Google?
No, they didn't say that. But they're like, hey, what's the website for KQEG? I'm like, KQEGTV.com. And they actually Googled that, and it didn't pop up. I'm like, why don't you just, like, type it into the top bar,
just
the address bar?
Yeah.
Well, oh, there it goes.
That's not what I have. The problem that I have is that people are like, you know, hey, I'm trying to figure out, like, what the website is for, you know.
Fazoli's?
Fazoli's. Like, is it, like, fazolispizzeria.com or something like that? It's like, I don't know.
Just
type
search
in
it.
Just search. Just go to the
I
Google.
I don't know, man. I don't work for Fazoli's.
Type in Fazoli's. Like, we have this awesome search engine known as Google to our disposal, but. You know, you just like to type in the exact address. Is that like some weird fetish you have? I asked him that, and then they said yes.
This is my fetish.
It was a really weird situation that we had.
Hmm.
Like, I tried to get off the phone as quickly as possible. I did, but yeah, it was an awkward. That was a whole different story.
Do you guys ever get phone calls for people asking for other phone numbers to other places?
When I used to work over at the news station, we got, hey. News station, do you have the number for your competitor? It's like, what? Internet?
Yeah.
phone book, which is before the internet, which I figured, but no, not even for you. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know how to use a phone, obviously. Well, you're calling me. So yeah.
I remember when I was working here at KQEG, somebody called in because they wanted to talk to our weather person. Because they just saw the weathercast and they didn't agree with it.
Well, then you know at that point in time you should have been like, yeah, let me put you on and be like, hello, this is stormy weather.
Yeah,
here
you
at
should
KQEG
have done that.
Weather. How can I help you? Like, listen here, you motherfucker. I didn't like the goddamn forecast of sun. Well, you know what? Why don't you kiss my butthole?
I actually forecasted death and destruction.
Wow. That didn't come true, and guess what? I get paid money.
I get paid money.
You know, it's going to be raining bills.
What did you actually say to that guy?
I think at that point I was still pretty new, so I was just...
Was it one of the school shows?
No, I think
university
like
shows?
I think it was like
those weathercasts were ass.
I think it was seriously like we were on Ion or something because they're. But like they called and they're just like, yeah, can I talk to your weather person because you know I just saw their forecast and I didn't really like it and I'm like, I was trying to think in my head, it's like, well, we don't really have any programs that would be any newscast, and then I knew that there was the KQEG radio station. And I was like, well, did you mean that you were listening to the radio station? Because, I mean, that's how you could get the call signals messed up. It's like, no, I'm watching on TV right now. It's like, that's not us. And I think they hung up because they were pissed off at me. It's like, the fuck you want from me?
There's well, you're not really the best.
One time, I was working over at the TV station.
Well, I certainly wasn't when I was freaking 18.
And I got a phone call from this man. And he wanted to talk to me. He basically was like, let me ask you something. It sounded like Bill Clinton. He's like, let me ask you something, Mr. Senator. No, but basically I was on the phone, and he goes, he's like, this is one thing I don't understand. You guys are out covering the drug stuff and this. He's like, I want to know more about the World Series, man. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, baseball. He's like, you need to go figure out, like, where all that money is going, where it's being spent, blah, blah, blah. And then he ends the phone call. He's like, if you have the balls, you will bring this up to your news director, and you will do a story on the World Series,
like
baseball.
Like the World Series is laundering money or something?
I don't know what this dude was talking about.
Where exactly are all
this? And I was like, this is local media, bro. Like, what do you want me to do? Call up the MLB and be like, hey, I'm from La Crosse, Wisconsin. You want to do a story on the World Series? They'd be like, fuck off, dude.
It's like, who?
No, actually, they've been like, who sent you?
Who sent you?
Who sent you?
Who was it?
Who was it? Give me names.
They're just like, we can't talk over the phone. Meet me in the parking lot.
Kermit the Frog.
Mm-hmm. Deep Throat?
That's the funny thing about TV is that I think sometimes people don't understand the scope of like how big television is. Like, this is local TV.
Remember,
we do stories on 5Ks.
Did you quit at the time that there was that dude that like came into the front desk and he was asked for Mike Thompson and he was like wanting to do a story about like police brutality in La Crosse?
Yeah, yep. I talked to that man.
Yeah, he came in once. He had, you know, the full beard or whatever the hell, and then, you know,
what do you mean full beard?
He came in through the side door and he had a full beard and like a hat and he's like, hey man, like I'm gonna wait out here and I'm gonna like try to get in the building and talk to people, and we're like, nah dude, we're calling the cops, you're creepy. So then he just left. He comes back the same day in the afternoon, and he's shaving. Like, he was going to trick somebody.
Well, yeah, because he didn't want to be creepy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
A lot of people have been asking for Mike Thompson regarding the story.
Weird. Must be important. Better check it out.
Comes back again with a really fake mustache.
He wins, then. I mean, if he did that, that's what I call that.
He's like, all right, you know what? Yeah. Three disguises. All right, that's the lucky number.
AC Riley, closing comments.
Just shout out to Silas Young, who got the 1-year exclusive contract at Ring of Honor, and shout out to the rest of the Midwest independent folk that have been getting signed to the WWE as well. So we got Aria, we got Mustafa Ali, Kimberly, and Heidi Lovelace that just recently got signed as well.
Yeah,
so
Kimberly was on NXT last week.
Yeah,
yeah.
And Aria Davari doing great stuff with Jack Gallagher, and Mustafa Ali being in. He's been doing a lot of hype packs for 205 and getting a lot of good reaction. And the best part about that was they got a screenshot of him doing his vignette, and then Arya screenshotted that and compared it to Jim Halpert from The Office. So it was pretty much spot on.
Nice.
Hmm.
They were both doing the smirk. That's why they look so similar.
Oh.
Yeah. Like that?
Yeah. They're like.
feel like I look like I have a stroke. All right, guys, so that does it for this week on Grapple Talk. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you guys next week.
Yeah.
Right here. Stay classy.
Sure. Maybe. I don't know.
Stop it.
You sure?
Stop it.
Thank you for tuning in to Grapple Talk.
I would say the traditional one. something like that. I don't know.
What was that?
I don't know. Beatboxing by A.C. Riley, not available in stores for good reason.
With Nick Ragner, A.C. Riley, and Jesse Von Ruden.
Man, we just got some stuff for the blooper reel, that's all I'm saying.
Our entire podcast is the blooper reel.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.